The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
Fat.
Podcast.
We never do this when we have guests because it's kind of embarrassing. It was not embarrassing when it's just me and you doing it. What does that say about us?
Insecure.
But not around each other. Right, Joe, we're talking about our fourth pillar of sustain today, which is?
Success setup.
Yeah, which, to my knowledge, is not something that's ever covered in any other diet or fat loss, weight management system.
It's definitely covered. It's definitely covered, isn't it? But it's to like tiny degrees.
I don't think you heard me, Joe. I said it's definitely not.
Nobody ever mentions the things that we mention now. It's exclusive. It's not. But there's never much focus on this stuff because people are too busy focusing on all the things that you can see, the food that goes in, the exercise that you can do, rather than all of the structural supports that go around that. And if you don't work on these things proactively, or you don't even recognize they're a problem, which I think a lot of people have, is they don't even realize these things are there. You know, it's just eat less, move more. And so it's about making steps forward with this to make sure that you're more successful. Hence, success setup.
Yeah, it's all about making, making the right decision, or the decision that's in line with your goals, I should say, not the right decision, because that implies that there's a wrong decision. It's all about making that decision-making process so much easier because people try to rely on willpower, people try to rely on motivation. And at time of recording, it is the 20th of January, Tanny's birthday. That's why I know it.
Tanny's birthday.
Everybody, make sure if you listen to this in the future, which you obviously are because it won't go out until later today, wish her happy birthday if you see her. She's the lady who does the intro to the podcast. It's not my sexy Scottish voice. Anyway. What was I saying? Yes. So this is 20th of January. This is notoriously, I would say, we were speaking about this yesterday, like 3 weeks into January is where most people's little rocket boosters fall off.
Welcome to Quitsville.
Yeah, 100%. You know, by the start of January, you know, gyms are really busy. And by February, it's pretty much back to normal. Now, there'll be like a few people who carry on, unfortunately. You know, not unfortunately they carry on, but unfortunately it's only a few people. And that's because that initial bit of willpower, that initial bit of motivation is just dried up. And that's why we're going to talk about how you can set yourself up for success by doing all these other things, which will make this journey so much easier. Instead of you having to grit your teeth, bite down on your gum shield, and just slog it out. Let's make this as easy as possible. Our big key thing, got to credit Joe for it, original hashtag, consistency killed the fat. Consistency is the biggest killer to people's results. End of. That's it. It's all about being consistent. Not consistently perfect, just consistently trying to improve.
I was going to say, make sure it's consistent improvements and not if you're consistently gaining a pound each week, then that's not the kind of consistency that we're looking for.
What? So, first thing, again, and it's boring, and we will talk about this, and we will talk about this till the end of goddamn time. Because still people are doing it. How can you make making the right decision as easy as possible with a little bit of planning? What are the seven P's, Joe?
It could be like nine, can't there? proper planning and preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Perfect. Oh, there you go. Perfect. Another P for you.
Proper perfect.
We will bang on about planning and... let's talk about one of the barriers. People don't like to plan because, one, they like to be spontaneous. Two, it's not very exciting. It's a little bit dull. Three, they believe that it takes a ton of time. That's probably it, isn't it? I said the time thing.
People think it's really hard. I think it's a waste of time because they won't want to eat the food that's there in front of them. Loads of reasons. There's more excuses than there are reasons to do it. Sadly, the reason to do it is that it is the most effective thing that you can do. If you said to someone, right, you've got 1 week to make 1 hour to make next week the best chance of losing weight you could.
I'd do a HIIT workout.
You'd plan your food for 40 minutes and do an online shop for 20. And that would just make the biggest difference for most people. Oh my God. I think about the people that today's one of our check-in days. And if the people I'd worked with had done that, they would have had more successful days. You know, something as simple as buying some cooked chicken and some rice sachets, stuff that can live in it. Put your chicken in the freezer, put your rice sachet, in your cupboard. Suddenly you've just got so much better chance of being successful and being, as you said, consistent, which gets you those results. And if you neglect those pieces, you're just making your life so hard. So, so hard.
Yeah. I'll often talk about with clients, we want to remove as much wiggle room as possible for making errors, for slipping up, for making choices that aren't in line with our goals. And planning just cuts through so much of that. If you've got a rough idea of what meal you're going to have, if you've got the food in your house, if it's kind of tailored to your day, and by that I mean you're not working a 12-hour shift, getting in at 9 o'clock and then start cooking a fucking lasagna. Have something like a prawn stir fry or something, that you're going to knock out, or have something already in the slow cooker, have something like you said, something that you could just bang in a wok and it's cooked within 5 minutes. You don't have to finish a 12-hour shift and go to the Asda and go, scratching your head, right, what am I going to eat for dinner? Oh, look at me, I'm in the pizza aisle. How did that happen? When you plan your meals, you sit down, you plan your meals, you're not upset, you're not emotional, you're not hungry, you're thinking about your goals, what would make a good meal, what am I going to enjoy, what's going to be calorie controlled, what's going to be nutrient dense. You've got all these positive things going where you're not I'm going shopping hungry and tired and a bit pissed off. What's going to make me feel better? It's that food is there. I talk about this when I'm at work. Now, I can get really hungry at work and I can go, right, I need to eat. The nearest shop is a 10, 15 minute walk away, or I could drive there. Now, I'm going to have to go out and go and find the best option available to me right there and then, which could be a Greg sausage roll. Possibly. I can't remember the last time I had a Greg sausage roll.
You're not going to have just one, though, are you? Let's be fair.
Yeah, because it's five for a pound or whatever. They're probably not either now.
I don't think it's five for a pound anymore. Anyway.
But buy for a shilling. Or I could go, let me walk to the fridge, which is 10 meters away, and put my food that I already cooked 2 days before in the microwave. And in 2.5 minutes, I've got a really balanced, nutritious meal. Which one is going to be more likely to lead me to success? Me going out hungry trying to find food, or maybe going, someone's just booked in another call. This meeting's overrun. I've got all this work to do. I don't have time to eat. And then I go out and then try and find food 3 hours later. It just makes things so much easier. And it's so much more of a smoother road to success, in my opinion.
100%. I don't know if they've ever done any studies on this stuff, but the thing that stops so many people is that variety piece. So I don't fancy what's there, or I don't want to not fancy what's there. I don't want to quote The Rock and yell into my microphone. It just doesn't matter. So often I think, I look at my food and go, I don't really fancy chicken curry or bolognese again, because I eat those foods so consistently. I remember seeing a study once saying that people who lost a large amount of weight and kept it off consumed a smaller group of foods than people who consumed a larger group of foods, because there's just less errors to make. And so often I think, I don't fancy bolognese, and I eat it and go, that was quite nice, I'm really glad I had that. And this is just this endless cycle. And you've just got to recognize that it's just a passing thought. Just thinking, I don't fancy bolognese. There's loads of stuff you don't fancy doing that you do. I don't fancy getting up early. I don't always fancy doing my diaries. I don't fancy making content. Obviously, for large portions of sustain, I haven't. But, new year, new me. There's loads of things in life that you don't want to do that you do anyway. And this is just another one of those things. And there's a reason that you do those things. There's a reason you get up early and go to work and you're kind to your partner. And this is exactly the same as that. And if you have, if you recognize your goals and if you recognize your values, then it gets easier to push through these things. It just becomes another passing thought. But that's the piece to master for people but you can't work on that mindset piece if you've never got any food in. If you're relying on yourself endlessly trying to manage this in the moment, it's just not going to work. You know, we've just worked with too many people for too long who don't master this. And that's when you will go sideways, and you just have to make sure. I'm going to link them together about planning and prepping, otherwise this podcast is going to take forever. It's about having enough food ready and deciding what you're going to eat. You know, those little pieces, you know, people think, oh, I haven't got time to meal prep. Like, how much time do you spend cooking each day? Because I have four meals a day. My first three meals, the only time I have meal prep goes into that is I blend my berries in the morning and then it gets put in the microwave. So I save all these pockets of time by just having those meals ready to go. You know, if you're not willing to do that, then, well, you're probably not listening to this podcast. If you're willing to give up, you know, 30, 40 minutes of your time, then you are willing to do this. You're telling yourself a story about planning and prepping that isn't true. And if you challenge it and push against it, it'll fall apart and you'll get better results.
Yeah. And you know, there will be some people who are really time poor out there, but then you need to find a workaround, whatever that is. Is that buying ready meals? You know, there's so many calorie controlled, decent choices, ready meals out now. It's not horse meat lasagnas anymore.
Were there things that you did when you first had Mags that made it easier?
I ate a lot of cake.
Did you?
No, I mean, I wouldn't have said so, not really. I mean, I was working from home more, which is convenient, which is ideal having an online business. But I wouldn't say it massively changed. You know, I mean, it's tough with the whole like lack of sleep and stuff like that. But I think because we're in good habits, we've got a good routine, you know, we enjoy cooking. But, you know, if we go back to yesterday, and I'm always very conscious about us going examples in our life, because people are like, but you two were personal trainers and all this. Like, we've got a qualification.
Barely. And it is easier for us because we do have that history of habits, but it has to start somewhere.
Yeah, because we've done it so many times because we've got so many reps. But just looking at that, like, belief that, like, you're going to feel like missing out. So yesterday, me and Joe met up for a little content planning afternoon. We went for a business lunch, oi oi, to Nando's. I was really hungry, so I'd had my ready break, old school, with some porridge and some berries at about like 6:30, 7 o'clock. And then I think it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock that we went to Nando's. And I was like, right. I picked my main bit, which was like the Fino burger thing. And I was like, I'm really hungry. I'd love to have peri chips and garlic bread with this. But I ordered with my head instead of my heart.
And he did.
I don't know. I've got photographic evidence that I did. I had the rainbow slaw, which doesn't have any mayonnaise in it, and I had the peas. And after I'd finished them, with my blood sugar stable and my stomach was full, there was no regrets for me not eating an extra 800 calories from chips and garlic bread. So again, you pulling on our wealth of experience, when people say to us like, "Oh, well, I'd prepped this whatever bolognese and veg and rice or whatever. I just didn't fancy eating it. So I ordered," and it's never something that's low calorie. It's always something that's super highly palatable. And we're all about sustained nutrition and we're all about enjoying our food. But sometimes you just got to eat meals for a bit of a purpose and treat yourself like you would do your kids. You know, if you put down your dinner in front of, I said this on one of the other podcasts, which is surprising it aired back from it. If you put your meal down in front of the kids and like, "I don't want to eat that," you'll be like, "Okay, cool, right, let me make something else." And like, "Oh, I don't want to eat that." You're like, "Okay, let me make something else." You'd be like, "Well, that's your dinner. You can eat that, or I'm going to guess you're going to be hungry." To treat yourself like a bit of a kid, just go like, "I'm just going to eat this," because I guarantee 3 minutes after you've finished eating it, you'd be like, "Right, that's had zero negative impact on my life. And I've ticked off another meal in line with my goals." But I feel like we should move on.
Get back on track. Yeah, absolutely. I was going to add something else, but that makes sense.
Log in.
Oh, absolutely.
Belter. And again, so simple. And I appreciate when people are, there's a couple of things, isn't there? Log in, boring. It is boring, but the payoff is massive. Imagine you're in tons of debt and you're like, right, financial advisor is like, "I'd really advise that you track your spending." But, "Oh, but it's boring. It's really boring writing down everything I spent." Like, but it's really freaking useful.
It's just absolutely essential, isn't it? I totally agree with what you're saying here about being boring, it being cumbersome, it being an inconvenience. But the number of people we work with and they're struggling and they will give you statements about their food and then you say, "Are you tracking it?" Guess how many people say yes? It's almost none. You know, it's tiny percentages of people. And then the people that say yes, you can go, "Brilliant, let me have a look." And then it takes 2 seconds to look at what they're doing and say, "Okay, these are the things that you should change." You know, and that's the same with And obviously, we get paid to coach. We get paid to look over people's food diaries. So if you send me your food every single week, there's definitely going to be a point rather quickly where I say, I'm afraid I can't do this. But looking over somebody's food over the course of a week, you know, I'm more than happy to do. Anyone who listens to this can send me a week of their food and I'll give you some feedback about it, because it's stuff that we can see that people miss. But if you don't have that log, then you're just basing it off your expectations of what you think. So if I think about my last year, I'll treat myself to talking about myself a bit more. over the last 13 months, I'm gonna track all the way that my weight moves. It went from a year ago, I was down at kind of 96 kilos, went up, peaked at like 105, then came back down. It was as high as it got, but it went up and down in between.
Could you just explain by what you mean by peak, not your peak physique?
No, peaked as in at my fattest. But if you asked me and said to me, what was your food like last year? I would say the same thing that I hear from people I talk to. It was pretty good. A bit inconsistent at times, but pretty good. So if you said to me at the moment, how am I eating differently to how I ate in September? Yeah, a bit less high calorie food. I'm like 9 kilos lighter. It's a huge difference, like 10% of my weight. And I'm a big guy. So it's, not to brag, but I'm a pretty big guy, but it's that thing, isn't it? If you don't have, and I track my food, so it means that I can then look back and assess the differences. But the number of people who are convinced that they're eating the same at the moment as they were when they were lighter, or that they've got no idea what they're doing, is massive. And then there's just no way of helping them. And they have nothing to look back on, so they can't assess it. You know, you're just convincing yourself of what has to be a lie. Because if you aren't where you want to be, you're not doing something right. And it's just the truth of the matter.
Yeah, so, and something needs to change. And just going back to the piece where people go like, oh, it's just a real pain. Like, we're not necessarily talking about, tracking in something like MyFitnessPal or NutriCheck, something like that. Like, literally just having a pen and paper or on your notes on your phone, just a log, right? I ate this. And it must take 2 minutes. It must take 2 minutes, 30 seconds after each meal. I had ready break, berries, scoop of protein. Bosh.
To open up your phone, to find the notes section and to type it out, what did I have for breakfast? Oats, milk, berries, whey. Like, do not tell me. Like, that is like 2 spoonfuls of that food. You know, you could have a mouthful of food, you could write it down and you'd still have, you wouldn't have finished that mouthful yet. The time piece is a lie.
It's just is it? And for me, it's people not framing the benefits of doing that. The huge benefits massively outweigh the pain of 5 minutes, if you were typing really slow, 5 minutes per day of logging. So planning, prepping, logging will make this journey so much easier. Next one, Joe, we're talking social support. And I think people look at this on a very surface level. And I know we like to go a lot deeper than that.
Absolutely. What do you mean by surface level? Explain that. Sir.
As in people go like, oh yeah, my mate's doing my diet with me. Or yeah, my husband's okay with me losing weight and supports me on this, but they never really get down to the nitty gritty of why it's so important that they help. You know, again, it's not uncommon for us to get messages in our client support group where people are like, oh, bloody husband's just offered me a glass of wine, or he sat there eating a share bag of crisps. Does he not know? He's making this really hard for me. It's like, because he doesn't understand, or she, they don't understand why it's so important that you make these changes. They don't understand the discomfort that you're in. And if they did, and you get more support, this would be an easier journey instead of it being, I'm trying to fight all these things.
Yeah. And I think that often when we talk about this, we talk about, and we're going to talk about it in a second as well, like communication and vulnerability and explaining how important this is. And you might not be able to do that with everyone, but you can probably do it with someone. There'll be someone in your friendship group or your family who understands this better and you can have an open dialogue with, and they can support you when you need it. And if you don't have that crutch, then it's just so much harder. You're almost out on your own. I appreciate there's people who work with us. Obviously, they're paying to have that support. And then they get fantastic support from us, but we're not going to be there forever. And so you have to proactively work on building this around you so that you can move away from the coaching. Because if you're reliant on us to remind you of your goals or to help keep you focused or whatever it may be, any of those pieces, then what's going to happen when the coaching stops? You need to have people who are supporting you both with their words and with their actions, and who are there to listen to you when you struggle. Because without this, it's going to be a nightmare. And, people say, well, I've got no one in my life like that. There's a private support group we've got with 8,000 people. And if you put a message in that, somebody will get back to you. And so it's about, you know, ideally it'd be someone who, you know, is your confidant. You work in an office with one other person and they are your perfect support network and there's nothing else that can get in their way. It's not going to happen. You know, you have to go out there and you have to manufacture this yourself. The same with everything, the same with the meal plans, the same with the exercise, the same with the mindset stuff. We can give you the tools. We can tell you what to do. Are you going to action it? Are you going to get off your ass and do some of these things? Because if you don't, you won't get anywhere. If you do, you'll get the best results you could get.
So do you want to talk a bit more on the communication part then, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that I often bang on about is this idea about you have to tell people things 7 times for them to hear it. And that's not just saying to your husband or wife, don't put crisps out in front of me. Don't put crisps out, you know, repeating it like a drone. It's about phrasing things in different ways so people will hear. And anybody who, you know, struggles to communicate something or feels like they've never been heard. And again, it's that ownership piece, isn't it? Of if you feel like you're not being heard, you can either keep saying the same thing over and over, or you can try and change that message and you can communicate in a different way. You know, there's different learning styles, isn't there? There's people who learn by doing, by seeing and reading and hearing. So can you send a letter to someone? Can you send a text or an email? Can you explain it to somebody? Can you show someone a picture of maybe when you looked happy, but actually you were really unhappy? And getting this message across in a different way, explaining why it's so important to you. So, you know, they're the ways that you can kind of avoid that vulnerability. Vulnerability matters. You know, human beings really resonate with stories. That's why things like testimonials and transformations do so well in the fitness industry, because it's a story. People can empathize with it. Whereas if we just say, here's a picture of someone's face and they lost 3 stone, people want to know more about those details. It's why with social media, that's why we talk about those things. It builds a better relationship with people. And that's, you won't be able to communicate to people very well unless you do this, unless you explain why it's important to you, unless you explain the emotions that you're feeling and the thoughts that you have, or the things that you're missing out on, or the things that you want to do. And the more that, and most, this is why goal setting is so important. A lot of people don't even know that. They have no idea how bad they feel or how good they could feel or how different their life would be. And that's why when you speak to us, we'll always dig into that stuff. Because if we just go, right, what you need to do is you need to start eating more veg and drinking more water. Well, you're never going to do it because you've not got the motivation to do so. So your partner is never going to support you if they don't know why, or your work colleagues or your kids or, you know, whatever it may be. And you won't get this from every area. There'll be some people who just are not supportive. And then you have to choose how much time you're going to give them, how much you're going to share with them, how much of your mental energy you're going to give to that person, because that's the thing you can control. You can control who you spend some of your time with, or who at least you give your thoughts to, who you listen to. You know, do you spend all your time focusing on the person who said you were never going to be successful? Because if you do, you probably won't be very successful. Whereas if you're better at taking on those positive messages and finding them and focusing on them, then you've got better chances. So it's all these little things that you think might not make a difference, but they all combine, they all add up to giving you a better chance.
And just to speak on that bit about the goal setting, you know, and it can seem a bit intrusive and it can seem a bit like, oh, cruel. We do that because, you know, I think, when we look at the goals, everyone wants to look at the dream, the nice, fluffy, oh, what can I achieve? This is really motivating. And we ignore, like you say, the discomfort and the pain that we're in right now. That's massively motivating because you want to move away from that. So you go like, oh, I hate logging my food. I don't like planning. It's real pain in the ass. I don't want to have to, or not have to, but I don't want to eat the same lunch 3 days in a row. It's like, but if that small inconvenience moves you away from this massive amount of pain and, you know, discomfort and, you know, disgust some people talk about, then that's worth it, isn't it? Again, I appreciate what, there's a lot of crossover between kind of the success setup and the mindset stuff. There always is going to be. But when we start framing things like that, like, okay, this is inconvenient, I might not necessarily be like super motivated to do it, but I'm going to do it. Like, you know, I always said to people, like, are you motivated to go to work every day? No, but you do it because you're disciplined enough and you want the payoff. You literally want to be paid at the end of the month. You want that job security. You want to be able to take the kids on holiday. You want to do this, do that. So it makes it worthwhile. So it's so often when people don't want to do stuff, they just need to reframe it as kind of what's the value to it. So you might notice a lot of these things are very proactive actions that we're doing. People fall into a trap of wanting reactive things all the time. What do I do when I'm losing my motivation? What do I do when I've lost my mojo? What can I do when cravings have hit? What can I do when I'm feeling emotional. Whereas these things are very proactive. We want to try and keep you away from that place, keep you on the path, which, you know, with the communication part, with the social support part, it's like it's keeping you in a good place. It's helping keep you on track. And the next bit really falls into that. And it's something, again, that's not really touched upon by many people. And that's self-care. With our clients, we tend to work with a lot of busy mums where self-care is, you know, way down on the list. You know, self-care is deemed as being selfish. You'll even get people who go like, I just can't justify investing in myself. Was this self-care bit for us is essential because when you're in a good place, you're bulletproof. When you've slept well, when you've eaten well, when you're feeling good about yourself, when you've got a ton of energy, you will handle situations so much better. Not just nutrition choices, not just whether you exercise or not, you know, kind of like potential arguments, stress, you know, anxiety, worry, all these things you will handle completely different if you're in a good place, if you're feeling good about yourself. So self-care is a big part of our success setup pillar that we get with our clients to do. And whether that's just getting 10 minutes of you time in the bath, whether that's, you know, going back and doing something that's fun that you've given up because you're giving your energy to everyone else. Again, it's how you frame that. Is it selfish or, you know, are you not giving your kids, your partner, the best version of you because you're not looking after yourself because you've running on fumes? And Joe, you can give your great example of this, kind of when you say, like, if you saw this in someone else.
Well, in regards to, you know, would you, if you saw somebody else doing it, would you recommend they continue it? Would you recommend they do it more? You know, would you, with your children, if you saw them doing that with their partners and their family, would you be like, yeah, good, you do right. Spend more time on them and less time on yourself. So, you know, would you encourage that? I doubt it. And if your actions are doing that, then that's what you're doing subconsciously. And I think it's very difficult, isn't it? I think as a childless man, to phrase this in the right way. But from my experience of working with a lot of people here, a lot of this, at least some of it, and I understand different phases of life and whatnot, some of this is self-imposed. Some of this is a story that you're telling yourself about what you have to do and how your house has to look and how you have to act and how you have to feel. It's based just on a story. It's don't get me wrong, there are cultural influences, there are familial influences, genetics, social media, all those pieces. But you're choosing to buy into that story. You're continuing that on. And it's not just busy mums. This is definitely a universal thing, but obviously we work with women, so we see it more. But it's just, you know, the self-worth piece. Are you willing to prioritize yourself or are you not worth it? And how true is that? You know, is that how you want to continue to live the rest of your life? Are you just hoping that one day this is going to change? Because we speak to a lot of women who are in their 60s who felt this way since they were in their 30s or their 20s or maybe even their teens. Like, this isn't just going to change. You're not just going to get to an age and go, do you know what? I am worth it and I am going to spend more time on myself. And this is just going to turn around now. And I understand if you've got triplets under 3 or whatever, or, you know, even just one child, it's going to be harder for you to manage it at that moment in time. But where are you going to start with this? You know, the example you said of like giving yourself, having a bath or listening to a podcast or going out for a walk, you know, these are simple things that you can start doing now. We're not saying to people, you know, you've got to go and do a vinyasa yoga retreat in Thailand for 4 weeks. You know, it's about being realistic with these things. You have to, but it has to start somewhere. And if you just keep putting it off, then it's going to be harder and harder and harder. And you're going to reinforce those habits about your self-worth and about how you're not deserving of self-care and how selfish you are. It's just a load of rubbish. You know, you just can't be the best partner, parent, colleague, whatever, if you're just giving up all your time for other people. It's just not how it works.
And again, just to caveat this, I think, is we're not saying that you have to do all these things. What we're saying is, you know, and that's why we coach, is because we tailor these things to the client. Not everyone's going to be able to have that time where they go like, right, I just need 30 minutes on my own. 3 times a week, they're not going to have that opportunity. And it's not essential. What we're giving you is advice here of like, right, if you want to make this as easy as possible, or the least friction, or the most friction-free journey that you could be, then we'd recommend implementing some, if not all, of these things. Now, not all of those are going to be possible. you know, as I said before, like if people are really, really time poor, then maybe they're not going to be able to plan and prep the meals. Okay, so what's the workaround? So don't use this as a barrier. Go like, well, there's no way I can take, you know, 30 minutes out of my day to go for a walk. I can't do that because I've got this and this to do. Okay, cool. Don't worry about that. You can still make progress. These are all recommendations, not essential. It's like, this is just advice. And it's just self-care is something that we see time and time again, people struggle with. Again, we're trying to be as proactive as possible. We're trying to keep you out of that need to emotionally eat, out of that needs to be eating due to tiredness, you know, out of that need to make choices that make you happy in the moment because you're absolutely on your ass, you're running on fumes. Can we do something that stops you from doing that, being as proactive as possible instead of, you know, that classic, I'm really tired, what can I eat for a snack? Well, let's focus on maybe how we can stop you from getting tired in the first place. Let's nip this right in the bud instead of being super reactive. So, yeah, self-care, again, there's going to be priorities. We just need to take from this what you can. So environment would be up next, Joe. Like, how can we fix our environment or make our environment more indicative to getting good results?
You need some awareness first in regards to where your environment is currently letting you down or where it's currently making life harder than it needs to be. So if you look at your, and again, food log will really help this because you can then recognize where you struggle the most. And that then gives you an idea of where to work on. There's a client who I'm working with, and I know that historically she struggles most at social gatherings when there's a large amount of food around and at work. So that immediately pinpoints a few certain areas that she can work on and then a few tactics that she can dial in on, because it goes from being a problem that is there, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to something that's there probably 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Well, you've really zeroed in where you need to work now and what you need to, and then that will then help direct you towards the tactics. You know, we said before, people get so overwhelmed with being like, should I have sweet potatoes or normal potatoes? You know, which protein shake's better? All these different margins that don't matter. Reflecting on this and looking at your environment is one of the big things that you can change, or you can at least change how you interact with the environment. So what I mean there is, if there's biscuits in the office, are you going to go in the office as often? Are you going to take some food in there with you? Are you going to tell some of the people in there that you're trying to manage those biscuits? As soon as you recognize the environment where you struggle, you're then able to focus more on the specific areas to work on. And obviously it's not just changing your environment, but you can then change how you think about that environment. Because if you think, oh, I get to, every time I go in there, I think I fancy a biscuit, you can then work on the thought processes the next time that comes up. And there's always going to be clues in here and stuff for us to work on as coaches. So the more that, you can do this stuff on your own, certainly helps having a coach. But then you've got more detail to give your coach to get more from the service.
Yeah, to quote James Clear in Atomic Habits, isn't it? It's about putting as much friction as possible between choices or habits that you don't want to do and then making the other ones friction-free. So the example I'd normally give is, if I was sat here now and I had a big bowl of peanut M&Ms, I'm going to eat them. If those peanut M&Ms are, you know, in a sealed Tupperware container in my kitchen, in the cupboard on the top shelf behind a box of Weetabix, no, I don't have any in the house. I'm just eating them all. I do have some Weetabix, though. I'm going to be far less likely to eat them. So I remember you saying a bit ago about the Colin the Caterpillar cake had that was on your counter. And if it wasn't there, no cravings. But because it's there.
I had it on the desk in front of me. And I was like, felt like, normally, it's at the moment, if I look around me now, I can't see any high-calorie food. I know there's an Easter egg on top of the fridge. But because I don't see it, I have to consciously think about it. I have to think what food is around. If it's in front of me, if it's in my line of sight, then it's suddenly, I felt like I was trying to come off heroin. I mean, I've not had to come off heroin before. I imagine that was every 2 seconds, it would be in my eye.
Slightly dramatic.
It was then making me think about it again, or I was choosing to think about it. But I was making that situation worse because I had a massive slab of cake on the table in front of me when I was trying to work. Now, if you had a friend who was an alcoholic, would you say, oh, I've got the evening free, let's go sit in a pub and have a Diet Coke? Of course you wouldn't. So why are you doing this with yourself? And people say, well, I've got to have high-calorie food in for my kids. Okay, well, buy single-serve things then. Get 15, 20-gram bags of buttons. Stop buying 150-gram bags and expecting yourself to not dip into them. Or it's with the timings of things. If you struggle picking at your kids' food when they've left some, can you have some chewing gum? Can you eat before they eat? Can you have a piece of fruit or something? There's loads of different ways that you can change the biological pieces to make this, make it easier to manage your environment, or, you know, changing your habits. Are you going to clear their food into the bin as soon as you take it off the table?
Yeah, that's why
I was going to say, all these little pieces are what is going to separate success from failure. And people often say, well, you know, it's only half a chicken drumstick. And yeah, it is only half a chicken drumstick or whatever, but it's all those bits that add up that take you either tiny steps closer to your goal or tiny steps further from it. And they're the difference. They're the deal breakers.
Yeah, it's the psychological aspect of that, isn't it? Like, oh, I've done it again. And that could cause a downward spiral. But yes, that one's a good example again. A very typical one is remove any room for error and just go, I do not eat off the kids' plates. I only eat off my plate. And that's it. And like you said, when the food is finished, it goes in the bin. Whether they've finished it or not, I just don't eat anything off that. And you could, you know, try to apply that same logic to the sweet stuff. Because I totally understand that. You know, the easiest answer would be like, don't have any high-calorie food in your house. That's not practical if you've got two kids or a partner who wants to eat those things. But you can say, like, black and white, I don't eat that food. There's no room for margin for error. You know, maybe you buy your own bit of chocolate and you go, right, this lasts me a week. Or I'm allowed one little pack of buttons or a Fredo Frog or whatever it is. It's setting yourself up for success. See what I did there?
Are you bad?
I don't know. I've lost it. But, you know, the environment will come into anything. You want to go to the gym in the morning? Get your gym kit out. You want to go to the gym straight after work? Get changed at work. How can you make your environment work for you? You know, instead of you driving home or having to drive past the gym to get home or driving home to get to the gym, whatever it is, how can you make it more likely to happen? How can you make this easier for yourself? And those are just a real few easy ones. I mean, to kind of wrap it up, I don't know how long we've been talking. The reminders of why it's so important. People lose focus so quickly, and that's why we're so keen on the emotive goal setting. That's why we're so keen on the daily reminders with the affirmations and getting really deep into this. This is why I have to do this, because if not, I'm choosing to stay here. Well, I'm not changing, I'm choosing. Oh. Zing, stinger.
There's also something here about there's so many different things that you can work on. You know, you're trying to spin 15 plates at a time. You don't have to spin them all the time, but it's just making sure that when a couple of those plates fall off, you recognize it. So if you have this list of the tasks that you want to do and that you can refer back to and recognize, you know, if you're being coached by us, the tasks are, you know, we put the tasks out. This is logging your food. It's logging your exercise. This is doing your positives. This is remembering your goals. This is engaging in the tasks each week. There's planning tasks. There's individual tasks each week, and there's planning tasks. There's focusing on your wins and being more positive. Now, all of this stuff is encoded into the system. People don't do it all the time. They still get really good results. But it's then, if you're not getting the results you want, what are the things that you're not doing? What are the things that we've mentioned today and over the past 3 weeks that you're simply not doing? It's probably protein and veg. You're probably
consistently.
Yeah. But all of these little things can help. And it's about kind of moving the, you know, turning the dials, doing the bits that you can, making the progression points where you can. If you come in with this attitude of trying to find the easiest way, you're probably not going to get there. Whereas if you're always looking for ways to improve and to do better, you know, people will have like a massive blowout day and they'll have like a full English for breakfast and then buffet food for lunch and then loads of drinks in the evening. And so, is there anything you do differently? And then, or people will say, you know, they'll tick the box. It was a conscious choice ahead of time. No, there's nothing I'd do differently. And I always look at it and I always think there's just a chance to do a little bit better here. You know, you could have had a gin and tonic instead of a lager, or you could have had three Proseccos instead of four, or you could have had one and a half slices of cake instead of two. All those little bits, you know, that's the attitude that I'm always looking out for, is that desire to do better and that desire to make improvements. You know, you don't have to do it, but that is always the attitude of somebody who does the best, who's willing to challenge themselves. Or if when we say that and they go, yeah, you're right, in hindsight, I would have done that. The less successful client is the one who goes, no, there's nothing I do different.
Got my hand up because I was going to say this, but now it sounds like I'm just sucking up. Going back to my choice yesterday, we're having like the Fino burger, which was like 800 and something calories. Like, in hindsight, I should have got either like two breasts, oi oi, or the half chicken like you, because whilst the burger was very tasty at the time, today it's there's no impact there. I've got no regrets eating the peas and the rainbow slaw instead of chips and thingy. But to be fair, could have gone for the half chicken as well. I'm sure I would have enjoyed it, or, you know, a double breast, whatever, you know, butterfly breast thing. Because today I've had no negative impact on my life. You know, I'm not still like, oh my God, that burger yesterday. I think it was nice. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, that's the power of those choices, isn't it? And if I kept on making those choices day in and day out, you know, say I'd gone for the Fino burger and then chips and garlic bread, if I keep on making those choices in that moment, I'm going to get fatter.
I'm a
fact.
Connoisseur of this stuff as well. And, you know, just the people avoid the word regret because I think most people will overdo it and they'll beat themselves up and self-flagellate and criticize. Like, for me, a regret is just something I do differently. So
yeah, I don't regret it. But if you said to me, would you do anything different? I'd be like, yeah, I'd probably go for that.
So it's the emotional intensity of the word, isn't it? And it's taking so often when I'm getting people to reflect, I don't want them to look at whether a decision was good or bad. It's not about branding them that way. It's just the nuts and bolts of it. If you could do something differently now, would you? Is there an adjustment that you'd make? Yes or no? Yes isn't good. No isn't bad. It's just, would you change something? Because it's in the past. You don't have to change anything. You know, you can say yes and not really mean it. But it's just having that attitude of, and you might keep making the same mistake. You know, me and you have not lived lives the last 7 years since we've run Sustain of being in the same shape and being consistently lean. You know, we fluctuated. But it's just how it goes, learning to reflect and to look at your decisions. And I think the more that people can do that, and they can engage with all the bits that you said, then the better their results will be.
I think that just about wraps it up, doesn't it, Joseph?
Perfect.
Should we have a little wrap up?
Not perfect, but yeah, good enough.
As good as for us. So the whole purpose of the success setup is to make everything easier, just to make it easier for you to make those right choices. So first thing is going to be planning, prepping, logging. Look at your social support. Dig deep into that. Be totally honest. If you want their full support, then you need to tell them exactly how you feel, what situation it is, and what you need help with. Don't just be like, I'm going to try and lose some weight, because I've probably heard that 100 times. Tell them why it's so important that you do this. Self-care, where you can. Look after yourself. Keep yourself in a positive state for as long as possible, because, again, it's going to make it easier for you not to make those emotional decisions. Work on your environment, make it inducive to getting results. Don't keep a ton of sweets in the car if you always eat sweets when you're making a long travel. Have something else. Make the environment work for you. Again, make it as easy as possible to make solid choices. By, you know, going back to your meeting example, if you're going to go to a meeting and you're not eating for a while, or you know it's going to be a long meeting and then there's going to be loads of biscuits there, eat a goddamn protein bar. Eat something before you go in. Take something in with you. Who cares what someone else thinks? Like, oh, James was eating a protein bar. Yes, I was, because I didn't want to eat 500 calories worth of biscuits. And the next thing would be keep your goals ever present. Remind yourself of them every single day. This is why I'm doing this. This is why this is important. This is why I'm going to make these decisions today. Because if you're trying to work off your goals that you set 2 months ago, you're going to forget them, or they're not going to be as present. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, all good.
Right, little diatribe. Guys, thanks as always for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe. Hey, while you're there, leave a review. Join our private support community. We can get access to our 4 pillars for sustainable fat loss. You can join our free mini course where you can drop 7 pounds, half a stone on us over the next 20 days and learn a lot of the stuff that we're teaching you here. If you've got any questions, comments, complaints, message Joe at sustainnutrition.co.uk. No, all the time we're having conversations with people. We're pointing people in the right direction. We're sharing the podcast. We're sharing workbooks. We're here to help. If you need any help with anything, just reach out. It's free to send an email.
That free support group sounds amazing, James. Where could I join?
On Facebook.
Facebook.com/
I'm not even sure what the URL slug is.
I know what it is. Shut up.
Go on then.
Facebook.com/sustainnation. There you go.
You can probably go to our Facebook page and find access to it there. Perfect. Right. Cheers, guys. Thanks as always. Take care. Comb your hair. Oh, I should stop recording, shall I? That'll do.